It was just a couple of days ago, T and I were sitting down, a young lady came up to us, and her name was Sandy. And we know that every encounter is a potential divine assignment. And that's how we live our life. And so Tina said, "You know what Sandy means?" I said, "No, I don't." So she quickly Googled it and found out that Sandy means defender of humankind. So when she came back with our water, we said, "Hey, Sandy, do you know what your name means?" She said, "No, I don't." I said, "Well, before I tell you, let me ask you a question. Do you find yourself constantly for the underdog?" She's like shaking her head. I said, "As a matter of fact, you probably are the person that is always defending the defenseless, always standing the gap for people that have been served injustice. Is that right?" She goes, "Oh my gosh." She goes, "Yeah. My boyfriend or my fiance is always telling me, why am I doing that?" I said, "Well, there's a reason for that. And the reason for that is because your name means defender of humankind, and you're living out your destiny." She said, "Wow, I never knew that." I said, "Well, let me tell you the best part. Not only because you defend others, but God has defended you through Jesus Christ. And He is your defender and you're your shield. He's your shield." I said, "Have you received Jesus as your personal Savior?" She said, "Well, I go to church." And she started talking about the churches that she goes to. And then she tells us that her family's from Lebanon. And she tells us her background. And I said, "Just know this, that Jesus Christ is your defender, and He wants to stand in the gap for you today. By the way, can I have some more bread with my meal?" Now you say, "Well, that's kind of silly." But I'm just giving you an illustration that this school is going to teach you how to move in that realm of the supernatural all the time. It doesn't matter where you are, who you're with, at a drop of a hat, the Holy Spirit can speak and you can step in to the supernatural. We're going to be there on Saturday mornings, 8 a.m. till about 2 o'clock. Now, that's a long time, but you're going to be taking 3 classes in the morning during that time. Prayer, worship. There's also going to be a community developed. And what we're teaching you is a culture, not just knowledge. This is not a school about knowledge. This is about culture. What do I mean? The culture of family, the culture of honor, the culture of faith and hope. Matter of fact, any place in your life that you do not have glistening hope is where you are believing a lie somewhere. And we want to replace the lie for the truth and teach that that is a culture of how we live. Okay? So, risk and faith, learning how to take risk, learning how to walk in faith, learning that this is how we conduct our lives. Now, for those of you that cannot be here Saturday mornings from 8 till 2, I'm going to videotape the classes, and you can take them through DVDs if you do all the homework. Now, on Wednesday night is what we call activation night. What you learn on Saturday, we're going to take you with a revivalist pastor on the streets or in scenarios where you are going to practice what I just told you about Sandy at the table. And we're going to teach you how to hear the voice of God, operate on that level, and release the anointing in all of Northeastern Ohio. Now, the cost was $3,000 for a whole year. That's $1,500 a semester. God spoke to me and said, "You know what? Cut the price." So I cut it in half. God said, "That's not enough." I said, "That's more than enough." Did you ever argue with Jesus? I said, "Lord, that's not even going to pay for everything." He said, "Cut it again." So we cut it down 90%. $300 for the entire year, $150 a semester. Now, that folks, that's unheard of. But this year only, and it's a limited enrollment. I could only take so many because this isn't just going to a class. This is attending school and then being schooled in the Spirit and releasing this ministry in practical ways. We're going to build a community together. We're going to walk together. We're going to learn how to worship, pray, and cry together. This is going to be an incredible moment. I'm very happy to tell you that the administrator of our school on this campus, we're going to do both campuses, is Roland Sweet. Roland, stand up. There he is, right there. And we've got some awesome teachers. I'll be teaching. I'll be present. And you don't want to miss this opportunity. But you got to enroll right away. And for those that pay the application fee and turn it in today, you can guarantee your spot. Now, Mary will be here along with Roland out in the foyer today to talk to you about all the details of it. But join this movement called the Revivalist Movement, all right? Why? Because God said in Psalm 81:10, open your mouth and I will fill it. Now, I stood here last week. I had no idea that dude was coming back to play basketball in Cleveland. But I opened my mouth and God filled it, right? God is able to do whatever He wants to do. So learn how to do it. Matter of fact, my wife and I like to sing this song with our grandkids. Maybe you know it. You want me to sing it to you? It's kind of a silly song, but if all the raindrops were lemon drops and gumdrops, oh, what a rain that would be. Standing outside with my mouth open wide. Ah, 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 ah. That's a person who lives by faith, walks by faith, and not by sight. We're always walking around going, God, fill my mouth. Fill it up, God. And I just want you to know that every promise of God is in your future. There's not one that's been aborted. All of them in the Bible are for you. All you got to do is believe, stay in faith, open up your mouth and declare and watch God do incredible things. How many believe that? Woo! I believe it. Oh, man. So get your Bible out. Are you ready to go? Are you ready to rock and roll in this old rock and roll city? All right, come on, let's do it. Hebrews 11, verse 1. You say, I know that verse backwards and forwards. All right, good. Then you can help me preach. Let's read it together. Ready? Read it. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. What a classic scripture. It all really predicates upon your confidence in knowing what God said. Confidence in God. You know, David, young David, built his confidence by intimacy with God. He was intimate with the Lord, just he and the sheep, singing praises, getting close to God, God getting close to him. Matter of fact, when he was in the valley of Elah, he pointed back and he said, you know what? I remember God helped me kill the lion. God helped me kill the bear. Therefore, I'm so confident that if God did that, this Goliath is nothing. This is just easy pickings with God. Caleb was the same way. Do you remember Joshua and Caleb went into the promised land? 12 spies, 10 had a negative report. Joshua and Caleb said, no, we can take the land. It is as God has said it. The 10 said, wait a minute, there's giants in the land. Remember what they said? They said, we're like grasshoppers in their sight. Caleb said, no, you got it reversed. They're like grasshoppers in our sight. And Caleb wouldn't let go of the promise because he believed God and he had such confidence that 40 years later, he was able to step forward and say, excuse me, that's my mountain. And he was able to take the promise that God had given him. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the day we got to hold on to our confidence. We've been teaching on Wednesday night with the guys. I know Tina's been talking about climbing the mountain with the women. But a lot of guys disengage today as men that know how to fight because we're afraid of failure. We sometimes think, you know what? If I fail, I'm going to be so humiliated again. So what do? We determine not to fight at all. And that's what happens. We lose our confidence. But you and I, through our confidence, can begin to see great reward. Look at Hebrews 10, verse 35. Now, these are going to be familiar verses to a lot of you. To some of you, they're going to be brand new. But if they're familiar, please don't let familiarity be a contempt. Understand that this is a word of the Lord that's fresh for right this moment. Here's what it says. Therefore, do not what? Cast away. It's an interesting scripture that says cast. It literally means to take that which you possess and hurl it in a direction opposite of where you stand. So here, the writer of Hebrews is saying, do not hurl in the opposite direction away from you, that's what the word away from you, your confidence. Meaning then, confidence is like something you possess. But you can also release it in the opposite direction of where you are. knowing that confidence is what releases great reward. How many want great rewards in the kingdom of God? Man, I do. I want to see blind eyes open, deaf ears open. I want to see lame walk. I want to see dead rise. I want to see people saved. I want to see cities on revival. I want to see the renaissance of the kingdom of God in northeastern Ohio, where everybody would have to look back and go, look what God has done. Hallelujah. I want to believe that God is going to do miraculous things. So I'm going to have to hold on to my confidence. So how do I do that? Here's the key. You and I have to stay in faith. Never leave your faith spot. Matter of fact, that's a good title for the sermon, Faith Spot. I want to show you and illustrate this, if I can. And I've brought a couple of faith spots with me today. Now, these faith spots are going to illustrate the journey that you and I are on. Have you ever been out in the woods and you get to a stream and you see rocks that penetrate above the waterline, and you look at that and you think, man, that's a pathway from one side to the other. If I just can stay on those rocks, I can cross this river that ordinarily would make me get wet, and I could do it and get on the other side in dry land. So that's kind of what we're talking about here today, because how many know that faith is a journey? That God has for us a specific path or a specific direction that you and I are to take. Now, when I start in faith, I'm able to start in faith with no problem. My difficulty is to stay in faith and not move from faith. Because the Bible tells me that I have an expected end. Now, faith is the substance of things what? Hope for, which is expected. I expect God to give me my healing. I expect Andrew stood on the platform in the first service this morning after 6 years fighting leukemia. Just got the report passed Monday. 100% cancer free. 6 years. 6 years. Hallelujah. I mean, I think that's awesome. But he had to stay in faith and journey in faith and stay in faith. But it's not always that easy. Look at Job chapter 4, verse 6. If you're following along in your Bible or just look on the screen, he asked this question: is not your reverence your confidence? Now, when I think of reverence, I think of intimacy. I think of connection. I think of worship. I think of proximity to God. So now he's saying, is not your intimacy, your worship, your proximity to God, your confidence. Now I'm understanding where confidence comes from. It comes from my relationship with God. Now I know that if I'm in relationship with God, I can have confidence. But I've got to be careful not to hurl in the opposite direction my confidence, because it has great what? Reward. So I know that I walk by and not by. All right, so that seems to be easy when everything is easy. But watch what he says. And the integrity of your ways, your hope. The integrity of your way. My way is by faith. The integrity of this way is that I stay in faith. And the confidence that I have is as a result of my intimacy that I've established with God. So now my intimacy has given me confidence. My confidence has helped me to move from glory to glory, from faith to faith. But I have to tell you, occasionally things don't line up. And occasionally I have to take a leap of faith. Now, that was easy up to here, but oh, Jesus, that's a little further than what I think I can make, but okay, I'm going to try. Whoa, I made it. Glory to God. And just when you think you got that one close, suddenly things change. You think, God, I came from there to here, but now I'm losing my confidence. What will cause you to lose confidence? Hold that thought. If what built confidence is my proximity and my relationship and intimacy with Jesus, that now, if you can go back to Job 4:6, please, if that gave me confidence, then, and I know that if I can maintain the integrity of my way, faith, then what would cause me to lose my confidence when I throw away or I put distance between me and God? Now, how do we do that? How do we create distance between us and our Maker? We're talking about confidence. Now, you say, Pastor, this is a basic teaching. I got this down. Okay, good. I'm glad you have it down. So for those of us who don't, I'm going to continue in the teaching. Is that all right? All right, here we go. Here we go. All right, here we go. 1 John 5:14. The Bible says that this is the confidence that we have in Him. So I've got confidence that I possess, but it's in Him. It's in my relationship to Him. Now I have confidence. And if I ask anything according to His will, what does it say? Now, if I turn the amplification of my voice off in this room, perhaps if I spoke, you know, normal voice, the first three rows could hear what I'm saying because of their proximity to me. However, for those of you that are in the back or way in the back or in the foyer, you would have difficulty hearing me because you have distanced yourself from me. Now we read, this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything, He, according to His will, He hears us. So I realize now that my distance, my proximity is important. Drawing near to God, He draws near to me. I want to maintain my intimacy with Him so I don't lose confidence. Why do I need confidence? Because sometimes the journey gets crazy. When I started, it looked like everything was all lined up and in a row. But then that woman you gave me, that them kids I got, those that job, it threw everything out of whack. I started off here, I gave my life to Jesus, and I'm like, yeah, I can do this. This is no problem. Got this. But I don't know who messed with the pebbles, but somebody moved the rock. Now my confidence is waning. And if my confidence is waning, I've got to be careful that I don't allow to create distance between me and God, because the unshakable confidence that I have is created in my nearness to God. So I am not going to allow that to be a factor. Now I'm going to show you something in Acts 20. Paul the Apostle was told in Acts 20, verse 22, that he was going to be bound in the Spirit to go to Jerusalem. And it said, I don't even know the things that are going to happen to me. Paul started out here. He said, you know, I'm going to Jerusalem. That's at the last faith spot. I'm going to end up there. But I don't know what's going to happen between here and there. I don't know what's going to happen to me there. Look at the next verse, verse 23. Except that the Holy Spirit testifies in every city that blessing upon blessing awaits me. It doesn't say that, does it? Oh, chains and tribulations await me. In other words, in my journey, somebody's going to mess with the rocks. Someone is going to move my stuff that I need to get to where I feel like God has called me to go. He said, I know that there are going to be things that are going to happen that I don't have any idea. And I know chains and tribulations, I know that much, are going to be part of this process. Now let me help you. I did not lead most of you to Christ. Some of you I have. Some of you gave your life to Jesus in this ministry. Others came saved. But I know this, that we understand that whoever told you it is roses and tulips lied to you. Here's what I'm telling you. There are going to be some things that are going to happen in your future on your journey that are going to challenge the integrity of your direction. And some of them are going to be ugly. Chains and tribulations. Now, I want you to look at verse 24 and read the first part of that verse. Ready? Read it. But none of these things move me. Stop. None of what things? Tribulation, chains, ugly people, opinions, lack of money, sickness. Huh? Come on. All my friends walking out on me. Come on, lose my house to foreclosure. It doesn't really matter because none of these things what?
Move me.
Now let me give you a definition for move, and this is important. This is really important. Move means to create distance or to go in a specified direction or to change position. Now let me try to work this, because if I'm walking by faith and I get to this point and a chain hits me upside the head, Jesus, my confidence starts to wane, but I keep pressing on. Now a tribulation hits me. If I'm not careful, I will allow it to move me. Now what does move mean? To turn to a specified direction. Instead of walking by faith, I'm going to look for the place or the path of least resistance. So now I've gotten off of faith, and I'm walking in a separate direction away from faith. Let me illustrate that. A servant came to Jesus and said, you got to come and heal. Jairus came to Jesus and said, you got to come to my house because there's death pending in my house. He said, let's do it. So they were walking by faith. And Jesus and Jairus were in step until this woman with an issue of blood touched him, and Jesus turned his direction. Let me say this: never allow tribulations and chains to turn your direction. Let only faith alter your direction. Faith will tell you where the rock was moved. If the rock is moved here, come on, move. Then my faith will always tell me to change directions. Don't jump here because it moved. You need to jump here. But notice this. Unbelief will always change your direction away from faith and create distance between you and the integrity of your way. Here's what happens. The woman gets healed. Jesus walks back to Jairus. He says, let's go. What happens as they start talking? Someone comes up and said, Jesus, Master, don't bother him anymore. Why? Your daughter has... It's over. Remember what Acts 20:24 said? None of these things what? So, faith never alters my integrity of my way. I always let faith identify my next spot. My next step, Jesus said, only believe. That's what he said, only believe. So Jairus was like, okay, I'm walking away because she died and this is over. Hey, thanks a lot, Jesus. Nice to meet you. Have a great life. See ya. Let me go bury her. Jesus said, nope, only believe. Stay in faith. Stay in faith. Don't move your direction. Don't alter the integrity of your way. Stay in faith. Even though they move the stone, stay in faith. Because if you do that, you're going to reach your expected end. Now, let me illustrate this to you. Because I have to get to a place in my life where I'm not moved by what I hear. I'm not moved by what I see. I'm not moved by what I feel. I'm not moved by any sensory realm in my life. I want you to know that I'm not moved by what the doctor says. I'm not moved by what the bank says. I'm not moved by what she said, he said, or even you said. He said, well, that's pretty arrogant. Honey, I got an expected end. And I am determined to get there. But they told Paul, you better not. Chains and tribulations await you. You keep believing that, Yet that's not going to work for you. I said, no, wait a minute. I got to understand something. I'll maintain the integrity of my way. I have the intimacy with Jesus. I got confidence that he will do everything he said he will do. That I know that there is every promise in the future. My future has every promise of God waiting on me. All I got to do is get there. And if I get there, these promises are coming to pass. So I cannot allow myself to say, okay, I was believing God until my children started acting up and went crazy. I was believing God until my husband did what he did. Because I'm single and I can't find a man or can't find a woman. I was walking in faith, but now that I'm unemployed, you got to get to the point where you say, I will not be moved. None of these things move me, because every time you and I start in faith, there is going to be opposing thoughts. You follow me? How many have ever had those thoughts? Do we have any thoughts in this room here this morning? Let me hear you. Who's the first thought?
I am angry.
You want it anyway. Come on up here. Who else? Come on. What up? Never forgive. My life.
I hate you.
Let me hear you.
God don't love me.
God doesn't love you. All right.
I want to get drunk.
Okay, now we got serious here. Come on. What does it say? What's your say? You got to say it. No, you got to say it like everybody can hear you. What will happen? Say it again. Okay. Now, I want you to look at these for a minute. Because normally, you can't see these. These are unseen entities in your life that when you start in faith and you go to jump to the next spot, there will be a thought that will try to steal away your confidence and misdirect you. These are the entities that will do that to you. Now, this is as real as it gets, ladies and gentlemen, because to stay in faith or to walk away is determined by what you do with these. Hear me. Romans 4:19. You all just stand there for a minute. Abraham was told by God on the first spot, you're going to be a father of many nations. How many children did he have when he was told he's going to be a father of many nations? Zero. How old was he? 100. How unlikely was it? Totally. That end spot was the children as many as the stars in the sky and the sand in the seashore. You follow? But he was here. So how could he get to his expected end without changing direction? How are you going to get to your expected end without changing direction or walking away and creating distance between you and God? And not being weak in faith, he did not what? Consider. Everybody read that word with me. Ready? Consider. Say it again.
Consider.
Okay, one more time.
Consider.
Okay, so not being weak in faith, he did not what?
Consider.
Now, consider is a vital word in this whole assembly of thoughts. Listen to what it means. to think carefully about something, contemplate, reflect, examine, review, typically before making a decision. To consider his own body before making a decision to take the next step. If he considered his own body, would he have taken the next step? Why? Put up the definition if you can, please. Because he was already dead. If he thought carefully, contemplated, reflected, or examined the fact that his body was dead and his wife's womb was dried up, before making a decision, if he thought all these thoughts, before we continue in faith, you're not continuing in faith. You are giving up and walking out of your expected end. Therefore, we should not consider these thoughts. And let me tell you, if you haven't had similar thoughts when you're walking by faith, then you're not alive. Because everybody has, right? Okay, so what do I do with them? This is the key. What do I do with these? Because when everything is against you, okay? When all of these thoughts are against me, thank you, then the Bible says that I've got to do something. Okay? It's the Wild Wild West right here. All right? So, Ephesians 6, take every... All right, come on over here. Come over here, thought. Come over here, thought. Okay. Take every thought, what? Okay, you all have to walk with me. Turn. Take every thought captive to the obedience of what? Take every thought captive to where? Jesus learned the thing, obedience through the things he suffered. Jesus learned obedience through the things he suffered. So therefore, I take every thought captive and I take it to the obedience of Christ. I take it to the cross and so I got more thoughts. See, you don't have this many thoughts. Only preachers have this many thoughts. So let me be careful and not hang somebody here. Come on, girls. One guy, can you get in there nice and tight? We'll put that around your neck. So what am I going to do? I've got to take the fact that you're my problem. I'm never going to forgive you. I'm angry. I hate your guts. Because I realize that these thoughts are keeping me from the integrity of my way. So I've got to take them captive. Who's going to take them captive? Say, I have to take them captive. Preacher going to take them captive for you? No. Mama going to take them captive? Your husband going to take them captive? You're going to say, I'm going to take them captive. I got the rope. So here we come. Here we come. And what am I going to do? I'm going to take them captive where? To the obedience of Christ. Oh, look, four more thoughts. Doggone it. I won't quit. I won't give up. I walk by faith. I don't care if I still am feeling depressed or that I feel like I deserve it or that it's never going to work out because it hasn't in the past. I'm just going to quit. No. I'm going to take every thought captive and to the obedience of Christ. Come on, y'all. So I realize that what I got to do is I got to fight the good fight of faith. I'm in a fight right now. It may not look like it's a fight, but let me tell you something. This is a fight. And I know where to go with all this mess. All right, let me through here. Thank you. All right. Now, why did I do that? Because if I'm not careful, let me have two rogue thoughts come over here. Yeah, come on. All right. Whatever, they're rogue. What these rogue thoughts are going to attempt to do, if I don't take them captive, as I move from faith to faith, they are going to attempt to try to interfere with my integrity. So therefore, you all have to push me off my spot. That's pretty good. I thought Brother Lewis was going to push me down the steps, but Lisa took care of it. Give me five. That was awesome. So you see, what happens is I'm standing in faith. Rogue thoughts that I have and take captive are going to push me off and prohibit my way. Now, stand between me and my next level. So now I'm wanting to move on in God, but because I'm angry and I've got this issue, I can't see. Oh, Jesus. So I'm trying to make it through, but they won't let me through. I can't go. So my only alternative is to stay where I'm at or to redirect my step and choose a path of least resistance. And what have I done? I've got out of faith. Okay, so go back to the cross. So I take every thought captive, and I realize now that Romans 12, 1 and 2 says, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, present your bodies unto God, right? And then he says this, be not to this world, but be how? Okay, now watch. Transformation takes place, not necessarily in some teaching, although we get knowledge. Transformation takes place by the transformer, who is Jesus. So when I take those thoughts to the cross, then the Bible says I can renew my mind when I've taken them captive, and watch what happens to them. They get transformed. Suddenly now, watch this. Suddenly now, I have a whole army that was against me. Come on now, if God be for you, who could be against you? I can't even be against myself when I walk in faith. I can't even be against myself when I take every rogue thought to the cross and become transformed by the renewing of my mind. So now I see that God is working things for my good. Why do I need to know that? To be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. That my worth is found in the cross. That the joy of the Lord is my strength. Because love covers it all. Because sometimes people move the rocks. And I'm like, I can't get there. And the only way I can get there is if I have some help. So, let me have some help. Six of you, come on over here and help this preacher out. Watch what happens. I'm feeling like I can't do this. However, because I've taken every thought captive, and I realize now what God is doing in me, they get a hold of my arms, and what do they do when I'm feeling weary? They lift them up. Suddenly, the very thought that was trying to destroy me is now encouraging me and is guiding me where? Taking me up over whatever would have stopped me and planting my feet solid right on the next spot of faith, because my thoughts have been transformed. Do you follow what I'm saying? So, now, watch this. Those thoughts got me this far. But sometimes that which has got you this far is not going to be what takes you the rest of the way. Have you ever seen the space shuttle take off? Suddenly those big canisters fall away. They were just there to get you into orbit. Now the little ones, the directors, are there to get you positionally in the accurate place so that you could fulfill mission. So now these all go back that way, and I need some boosters. So for me now to get to my next spot, God says, all right, you've renewed your mind, and I'm giving you the thought that given it will be given. I'm secure in who I am in Christ. Love covers it all. Let not my heart be troubled. Believe in God. See people in my life as strategic opportunities, because God, love covers all. So I'm fighting this fight of faith, and suddenly my thoughts lift me again, and they usher me not one step, not two steps, not three steps, but suddenly now they release me with great energy and push me forward to my expected end. That's what it means to walk by faith and not by sight. Do you understand what I'm saying? Thank you all so much. Thank you. Thank you. You can go back and sit down. Ladies and gentlemen, you've got to cut negativity out of your life. at every cost, whether it's in you or in other people. Man, listen to that rain. Lord Jesus, please don't let this building leak. Listen now, listen now. I'm almost done. Listen. It was like a man about to fall and jump off this bridge. He was about to jump off and commit suicide. He's like, ah, and another guy said, whoa, 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 wait a minute. Don't jump. And he stops him. He said, dude, what's wrong? What's happening in your life? Tell me about it. He goes, oh man, you don't want to hear. I've got so much trouble. I mean, gloom, despair, and agony on me. I just feel like life's not worth it. He said, really, really, just tell me, talk to me. After 3.5 hours of pouring out his heart to that guy, giving him every detail of every problem, of every situation, they both jumped off the bridge. That's what negativity will do in your life. You got to cut it off on every side. You got to realize that the integrity of your way is at stake. I cannot permit my mother, my father, my sister, my brother. I can't affect church members, backsliding people. I can't affect anybody to take me off of faith. Now look, I understand there's a lot of, you know, new modern, you know, all that people want to teach on worship and, you know, David's Tabernacle and all that's good. But honey, if you don't walk by faith, you can have all that knowledge about what do they call blood moons and all this nonsense stuff. How blood moon going to get me from one step to the other? You all get captivated. Did you hear about the blood moons? No, I'm too busy concentrating on the integrity of my way, and I'm going to keep walking by faith. Now, is it good to know about the blood moons? Fine, know about the blood moons, but don't forsake faith, because without faith, it's impossible to please God. I'm not getting down on that. I'm just telling you, keep the main thing, the main thing. All right, did I say I was going to end yet? All right, I'm going to end now. Listen, how many here, don't raise your hand, have ever felt like you knew at least as much, if not more, than God? Okay, it's okay. Watch Peter in Luke 5:5. They're out fishing all night. They come forward, and Jesus said to them, go back out and fish some more and cast your net on the other side. What did Peter say? Master, we've taught. Now, wait a minute. You're a carpenter. I'm a fisherman. Why are you trying to tell me, a fisherman, from a carpenter, what to do? I've been out there all night, and what did we catch? I know that there are no fish in the sea. That's what he was saying. I know there's no fish in the sea. Look at somebody and say, no fish in the sea.
No fish in the sea.
Because I know that. Come on, tell them, I know that there's no fish in the sea. Sometimes we think we know more than God about our situation. And so here's what Peter did. He said, nevertheless, at your word, I'm going to go and let down the net. Now watch, this is very important. Because God never, never rebuked Peter for thinking he knew as much as Jesus. He didn't say, Peter, you are in trouble. You should never think that you know as much. I am God. I'm going to zap you right now. He didn't do that. He just said, all right. Go on out there, cast your net on the other side. What? Guess what? There was more fish in the sea. Do you believe that there were more fish in the sea when you thought there was no fish in the sea? Do you believe that God has a better job for you when nobody else is getting a job? Do you believe that the best player in basketball can come back to Cleveland when nobody else believes he's going to come to Cleveland? I mean, you know, just saying. Earl, I'm going to introduce him to you. Because I'm opening my mouth, and I'm going to say his family is going to start attending church here. So I'll introduce you to him. You say, well, what, how important is that? Honey, I don't know about you, but I sure would like to receive that tithe. Just saying. Okay, I'm going to close with this. Did I say that yet? This, I promise, I'm going to close with. I am, Gary. Happy birthday, by the way, again. Listen. Angel Gabriel, was it Gabriel? Showed up and told Mary, "Hey, Mary, you're favored of God. You're going to have a baby." Right? Isn't that what he said? Something like that. And what did Mary say? "How can this be? I know not a..." He said, "Oh, don't worry about that. Holy Spirit's going to come on you. It's going to overshadow you. And you're going to give birth to God himself." It's interesting that God was basically saying to her, "My promises aren't dependent on men." Selah. Think about that for a minute. My promises are not dependent on who? Man. God doesn't need a man to make a woman pregnant. Well, he does in my country. I'm sorry, but not in his kingdom. So God doesn't need a man to give you the job. God doesn't need a man to give you the break. God doesn't need a man to somehow acknowledge your situation. God can acknowledge it all by himself because he's God, right? Watch. Here's what he said. He can do it without a doctor. He could do it without a lawyer. He could do it without your boss. He could do it without your banker. He could do it without your preacher. God doesn't need a man. So a few weeks ago, I got a prophecy. And the prophecy was about a paragraph long, and I won't bore you with the details, but basically it said, "Prepare for the celebration." I said, "Okay." Get up every morning and go, "Is today the party day?" Yeah. Do I get my hat out? Do I get my little, "Woohoo!" Got to go buy some more confetti. I got to get the balloons blowed up. I got to go order the cake. I got to send out invitations. I say, "Yeah, but the invitations are coming back. Nobody's coming to your party. Oh, I guess I better stop preparing." No. Wait a minute. My party is not dependent upon a man. Come on, I'm going to keep preparing because I believe that God gave me a word to prepare for the celebration. So therefore, I don't care if nobody comes to my party in the natural. I don't know about you, but I'm going to go to the highways and the byways. In other words, God threw a party and nobody wanted to come. But how many know today that all of us showed up? God drew us from the north, south, east, and west. He looked for us when we weren't even looking for him. Did you know there are promises that God is looking for to bring into pass your life? But you got to what? Stay in faith. You can't get off your faith spot. Now, some of you need one of these faith spots to go home with. Because you need to stand. I wish I had enough for everybody. You need to get up in the morning and go... So our altar call is going to be, "Come get your faith spot." And if I were you and you felt the Holy Spirit tell you to come get it, I'd come get it now, just like that woman did. I mean, you know, listen, you say, "Well, that's just a silly piece of cardboard." It might be, but I'm going to tell you right now, God works through silly things. Amen? Look at them. You thought I'd given away $1 million? Amen. I'm done. That's it. I'm done. You better watch it. You better watch her. She's strong. She pushed me and I'm like, "Whoa." Even the little thoughts, man, they'll get you, right? Amen. We want to remind you, I think we're only taking like 15, 20 students. We're not taking many. So first to get some money in application, we're going to take because we have to create a culture. This isn't about just student body. This is culture. And we want to invest in you. We want you to learn a new way of living, a new way of ministering, a new way of thinking. So this is going to be a process. It's going to be 9 months long. You get Christmas break and all that stuff. And the answers are out there at the table. But we are sincerely believing to raise up revivalists in this last day that are literally going to shake this region for Jesus Christ. And I want to be a part of it. I said, "Lord God," Psalm 71, verse 18. As a matter of fact, if I can get a Bible, that would be great because I don't have a Bible with me. But Psalm 71, I got one right here. Thank you. That's a pretty one. Psalm 71, and I can even read this one. That's awesome. Psalm 71. I want you to hear this because How am I doing for time there? I'm all right. I'm okay. Oh, it's only 1:30? Yeah. Oh my gosh, I got 20 minutes. Some of you are like, nah, you better change directions with that one. I'm going to take my time. Thank you. All right, come on. Let me just show you this one scripture. Psalm 71, verse 18. The Lord gave me this word. He said, surely, it's 73. Got to read the right reference, don't you? Okay, here it is. Even when I'm old and gray, check. Do not forsake me, O God, till I declare your power to the next generation, your mighty acts to all who are to come. That's why we're doing this school. God gave me that word. He said, when you're old and gray, you got that now. Okay, go ahead, go. You're ready. Show your power to this next generation, that they would operate not in churchianity, but in the supernatural overdrive of my kingdom and walk by faith. That's what this is. But the prophecy that I received from somebody that doesn't even know me, that lives on the other part of the country, sent it to me. They quoted Psalm 71, not verse 18, but verse 17. Isn't that cool? They didn't know that was my life verse that God gave me for my last days. Here's what it read. It reads, since my youth, God, you have taught me, and to this day I declare your marvelous deeds. He used that scripture and he said, from the youth you've been taught. Now it's time for you to declare the marvelous deeds of God. And I said, wait a minute, that's verse 17. God gave me verse 18, which says, when I'm old and gray, forsake me not, that I might show forth this generation the mighty works of God. I'm like, Jesus, this is like amazing. How many know that's how God works? Yeah. And I would encourage you today that if you've been misguided, maybe you've fallen off a rock, maybe the next step is like a long step. I understand that. And you're kind of worried about it, and thoughts come in to try to steal away your confidence. Stand in faith. Take every thought captive. Go to the cross. Let it be transformed. Then to take the very thought that was going to defeat you and let it come and lift you and take you to the next spot so that you can get that journey and move to the expected end. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm so excited. I don't know all that God's going to do, but I know this. Eyes haven't seen it and ears haven't heard it. All that God's about to do in Northeastern Ohio, and I don't think it's a mistake that now people are talking about Cleveland rising, front page of the USA Today. I don't think it's a mistake that a certain political party has chosen Cleveland over Dallas, Texas. Come on, to bring their convention here. I don't think it's a mistake in the timing that this young man has come back to his home, back to his roots. He said this, he said, Northeastern Ohio is more important to me than basketball. And I said, God, you know what? My church family is more important to me than my hurt, than any to my disappointments and to my disagreements. You know what? I'm going to hang in there. I'm coming back to my church family. I'm going to stand with people who need me. I'm going to be a man of faith because they need a model to follow. And God, I'm not going to give up and I'm not going to quit. And I admonish you today, don't you give up and don't you quit. Amen? Amen. Let's stand up. Come on. Thank you. Amen. Hallelujah. If you're here today and you're not born again, let me tell you something. The journey begins there. That's the first faith spot. Without faith, you have to start with faith. For by faith, through grace, you are saved. So you get on your first spot and you say, blessed be the name of God. I'm going to start with Jesus. And then he's going to take you to an expected end. It might be a while, but you got to be like the Apostle Paul. None of these things move me. I'm not promising you roses and tulips and everything great. I know there's an adversary out there that hates you and me, that's come to steal, kill, and destroy. And I know that times our thoughts betray our future. But I got to take those thoughts captive and take them to the cross. Let them be transformed by the renewing of my mind. Let the Spirit of God invest in me, His power and His glory. And let me come out. Let me come out like a transformed man of God, like a superman, like a man filled with great faith. When the anointing of God came upon the prophets of old, let me open up my mouth and God will fill it. You say, Pastor, I need that kind of Jesus. That's what I'm looking for. I'm not looking for a church membership, and neither are we. We're not looking for someone just to get churchy on us and go through all kinds of religious hoops. That's not what we're looking for. We're looking for end time revivalists who believe God at His word, who walk by faith, and regardless of what's happening around them, they're undaunted because they know that their God is real. And if you want that kind of Jesus, every head bowed, every eye closed, you say, Pastor, I don't know that if I would die today that I would go to heaven, but I want to. And I pray that you would pray for me right now. If that's you, I just want you to slip your hand up, signifying your need for that prayer. Anybody in this room, I want to pray for you. I want to believe God for you. Yeah, thank you. Thank you over there as well. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you for your confidence. Thank you for your act of faith. Altar ministers, if you'd be so kind to join us around the front, because I believe that God is going to minister to these that are walking out and reaching out and standing and saying, you know what, I've got to have a change. I got to know God differently. Pray for me. Man, that's what we want to do. So altar ministers are coming. If you raise your hand, would you kindly step out from where you are right now and come to your faith spot? Because your faith spot is at this altar. Your faith spot is at the cross. Your faith spot is in the Word, not back where you're standing. You got to move. The Bible says if you'll confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead, you can be saved. And we'll be here to pray for you because God is good and He wants to minister to you. Maybe you need healing. Maybe you need a prophetic word. Maybe you need encouragement. Whatever it might be, that's why we're standing in our faith spot, to agree with you that God is able. Amen? Amen. We've got a beautiful couple that's going to be married August 2nd. Roland, where are you? Nicole, there's Roland. Where's Nicole? There's Nicole. Get up there with Roland. You'll be standing with Roland. Stand right there. There she is. She's got to put her shoes back on. No, she's got to take her shoes off. Okay, there she is. They're going to be married August 2nd at 12:30 right here, right? Right there. And there's cake, a reception, a light reception, food, music, and you need to RSVP, let us know if you're coming. But they want to invite all of us. Everybody here is invited. So how do they RSVP? Just talk to you, say we're coming? Okay. So I'll be doing the service, I think, right? I'm doing the ceremony. And it's going to be a great time of rejoicing. Thank you so much for being here today. You've energized me. You make me feel like a Christian. I love being with you. I love being around people of faith. And I'm going to tell you right now, if you're on the bridge and you want to jump, don't do it. There's too much to live for. God has a great plan for your life. He said, those that call upon me, I will show great and mighty things. All you got to do is say, Jesus, and His only response is great and mighty. He will give you hope and He will give you a future. Jeremiah 29:11. I know I'm still preaching, but listen. Jeremiah 29:11 says, I know the thoughts that I have for you. God said, I know, I want you to know. Once you know what I know, we are going to go, and there is no limit. There is no limit on what we can do. So live right, love everybody, pray hard. No Wednesday night service this week. Next time we meet will be a week from Wednesday. Mountain Women and Fight Club for the Men. We love you. Enjoy your day. Say hello to somebody on your way out. Come for prayer. Come on, we're still here. We're waiting on you. Come for prayer.